Good morning. Good morning. God bless you. I know I'm a little bit early, and that's okay. We're just going to wait here for a few minutes until our 10:30 hour that we might begin. I just wanted to come on early because the last few weeks that in the process of attempting to come in, I've always had some issues and still are not sure what the issues were or what brought about the issues. So I just decided that this morning I would just come in a little early. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Glad to see you, glad to see you. So we're just going to wait a few minutes and then we'll get ready and we'll bring to you the word that the Lord has given us for today. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Just glad to see you all. Good morning, good morning. Glad to see you all. Just waiting on 10:30 to come. Just waiting on 10:30. Just wanted to get here a little earlier because, as I said earlier, I have had a few problems and getting in on the last couple of weeks. And so I decided I would start early today. You know, when you got some problems, you try to allow for those situations so then you can still be ready. So good morning to all of you that are coming in. Good morning. You know, if you all that are from New Life Church and you all that know me, know I wish I could just reach out and hug all of you. Just tell you good morning and welcome. And, you know, that's one thing I miss about this pandemic time is our inability to meet together, to hug each other, to greet each other. But we know that it shall be well. And God is with us. And I'm just believing that the day and time will come when we'll be able to share in that once more. So now officially, it's 10:30. We say good morning to each and every one of you as you're coming in. Welcome. Good morning. God bless you. We thank God for today. It's October the 4th. 2020, and we just praise God for yet another day that God has allowed us to be here, to share in whatever might be going on. You know, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we either get bad news or we think things are really rotten, or sometimes they really are rotten for us. We still need to be thanking God because no matter how bad it is, it always could be something different. And if we're still here, that there is another chance for God to straighten things out, for God to work on our behalf, for God to make things right. So that's why we always say we're grateful no matter what is going on. This is a day that he has made, and we truly find ourselves rejoicing, and we're glad in it. Now, before I start, I'm going to keep doing this until times get better. You have to, people, please, put your mask on. Wear that mask every time you leave the house. Wear the mask. Practice your social distancing and be sure to sanitize and wash your hands. Just because you made it through a different day and other people are living as though everything is fine, watch and see what's going on. In our areas, our numbers are horrible. And I'm going to make up a word this morning. They're getting horribler. They're getting worse. So please, please, I beg you, please, make sure you practice these things that the CDC is telling us that we need to do. Put your mask on every time you leave out of that house. Every time. Yeah, I understand. We take it off when we're driving. When you get out of the car, put it on. Make sure to practice your social distancing. Avoid these big gatherings and things that people are doing. Avoid them and find yourself sanitizing that we can continue forward. God bless you with that. And I want to thank you. Those of you that are sending in your financial support to New Life Christian Fellowship, we thank you. We thank you because it allows us to continue on that the work of ministry might continue. You can give your financial support at the bottom of our website, nlracine.org. You will see there the donate buttons and you can click on those. You can feel free to mail in through snail mail your check or money order. The address, 1529 North Wisconsin Street. You see all that information in the caption above there. You can also, just do what you need to do to support us. And we thank you for your support. We want you to know that we appreciate you. Now let's go to the word this morning. Let's go to the word. There's a story in the Bible, and I say story. When I say story, I don't mean it as though it's just, back in our day, we had fun with Dick and Jane. It's not just a fun and Dick and Jane sort of a story, but the stories in the Bible are there as an inspired word of God that will help us in our walk with the Lord. And there's the story of the children of Israel, you know, God's chosen people that once again, they had been disobedient and God allowed them as punishment to be taken captive. And they're, you know, living as captive slaves in Egypt land. And now the time has come that God decides the punishment is over and I will deliver my people. And he picks, calls, chooses, selects Moses. And we look in the fourth chapter of Exodus. Just listen, I'm going to read the fourth chapter. I'm just going to read part of it. Read the whole book. Read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to read verses 1 down through number 17. Reading it from the New International Version. It says, Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" Then the Lord said to him, "What is it in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it returned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? What makes you deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it." I've read down to the 17th verse. I'm going to stop there. You can go on and read the rest of the story. I encourage you to do that. In this particular story, we see that God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one that is able to do everything, has given Moses an assignment, given him a job to do, called him to do something. And Moses does what many of us do, began to offer God excuses. And, you know, we have to understand that excuses, they're not real reasons. They're just our way of avoiding what we really don't want to do. Really don't want to do it. So we offer an excuse. excuse. The dictionary defines an excuse as a reason or an explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or an offense. And so as believers this morning, I'm reminding us, I'm telling us, we've got to stop with the excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. In order to share all that God wants to share with you, to experience everything that God has for you to experience, and in to a greater degree than that, to do what God has called for us to do, we got to stop coming up with reasons or explanations that allow us to justify not doing what God has called us to do. Moses asked the questions that a whole lot of us ask. What if? What if? What if? Well, in anything you do, it could be some what ifs. Leave the what ifs up to God and find yourself striving to do what God calls for us to do. And I just want to look at some things this morning that will help us to overcome that hurdle of excuses. Excuses. We understand that when God called Moses, God knew the whole story. God already knew what Moses was capable of doing. God knew, let me put it this way, God knew Moses' flaws, just like he knows our flaws. God knows everything about us. There's nothing that goes on in our life. Now, sometimes we got secrets and we feel like don't nobody know our secret. Don't nobody know our stuff. God already knows. But in spite of his knowing what he knows about us, God still called Moses and gave him a job to do. God knows about us and he still calls us to do things. So the first thing we need to do, so we don't offer up any more excuses, we got to trust in God's power. Trust in God's power. You know, there's a word that we often use with God, and we say Almighty God. The fact that he, being God, has all power and ability to do everything that needs to be done. There's nothing that needs to be done that God can't do. God can do it all. We may not be able to do it. We may struggle with it. We may find somebody that can't help us. There may be not have been a self-help book written to get us through our personal issue, but God can. King David declared in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 33, he says, "It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure." There ain't nothing that God cannot do. And we got to understand God's almighty power. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6, Jehoshaphat goes on to say to the whole assembly of people that were there, he says, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations." And check this out. He says, "In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you." I'm telling you, God has power. And it ain't just talking power. God has the ability to do what is necessary to be done. And if Moses could have remembered that, that would remove some excuses. Remember over in Matthew chapter 22, some of the religious leaders, the Sadducees, come and they're going to try to trip Jesus up. I don't know why they always thought they could get the best of him, but they did. And so they come and ask him a bunch of rhetorical questions, you know, about who's going when you die and go to heaven, who's going to be the husband of this and that, somebody's married more than once and all of this sort of stuff. And Jesus answered to them in verse 29. He says, "You do not know the scriptures or the power of God." Jesus was suggesting to them, what looks crazy to us, what looks impossible to us, what looks like is not doable to us, God can do it. And you gotta know that God can do it. If God called you to do something, you gotta know that he can enable you. He can teach you. He can give you what is necessary that you might be able to get the job done. Many times we offer excuses without even realizing the impact of our excuses. I always used to say an excuse was just permission we give ourselves not to do what we know God would have us to be doing, or what we should be doing. So we got to trust in God's power. The next thing we got to do is trust in God's plan. I said this on last week because I find it to be true. We love to talk about Jeremiah 29 and 11, and where it says that God is saying, I know the plans that I have for you, the plans to give you hope and a future, to prosper you and not harm you. We love to talk about that. But we never stop to think about the fact that if God, who is all powerful, has a plan, who's going to be able to mess with that plan? Who's going to be able to alter the plan of God? God is almighty and God has a plan, and I got to trust God's plan. I got to trust his plan. Many times we find ourselves in doubt and worry and wonder because we're not trusting God's plan. If God said do it, we got to trust his plan in the outcome of that. Doing what he says. In Hebrews chapter 12, or chapter 13, it points out in verse number 20, on into 21, it says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead of our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, now check this out, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If God calls us, assigns us, tasks us with a job, we need to trust that God know what he's doing. Trust his plan. Trust his plan. Trust that he knows what he's doing when he sends you to do what he wants done. Trust him. And how do you show that you trust? By beginning to do what he gives you to do. We have to trust his plan. We got to trust his power. And then we also need to trust his provision or his ability to give us what we need to accomplish what he wants us to do. We got to be able to do that. Check, remember, when God is saying all of what he's telling Moses to go do, and Moses is coming with an excuse after excuse after excuse, he finally got on God's nerves. The scripture said God just got angry. I'm putting it in my own words. Said God just got sick of him, just got tired of him. Sometimes we're draining on God, and we don't even think about that because we're stuck in our own importance. And we don't realize that when we are rebellious and disobedient to God, it upsets him. I'm not sure that's who you want to upset. I'm not sure that's who you want to anger. I'm just saying. But the scripture says in chapter 4 and verse 13, Moses comes back and says, please send someone else to do it. And then God comes along and says, your brother Aaron is already on his way to meet you. God provided for him what was necessary to get the job done. He goes on to say, I know Aaron speaks well. Aaron don't have no trouble. Aaron has no trouble speaking. So Aaron is already on his way to meet you. Notice that. God already has provision in place for you to carry out what he has called for us to do. So we just got to find ourselves going and doing it, knowing that God called us, God is sending us, and God will provide for us what it is we need to carry out that task. Moses didn't have no more excuses. God promised to give him everything that he needs and more to lead his people out of Egypt. God will give us everything that we need and more to carry out the assignments of life that he gives us. In the giving of what he did, notice the thing that comes here. God tells Moses, go meet Aaron. Go meet Aaron. Aaron is already on his way, but you got to go meet him. You got to step out on faith to believe that God will provide for you and do what he needs to do for you. Step out on faith. God supplied his need, but Moses needed to go meet Aaron that it might be done. We've got to step out. And many of us are afraid to step out. Our fear comes out of the lack of trust in God, trusting in his power, trusting in his plan, and trusting that he will supply and meet our need to carry out what he has for us. Lastly, we got to trust God's word, trust his instruction, trust what he says to us. Now, for some of us, the issue is we ain't listening to God. We ain't talking to God. Be honest. Many times we don't even pray until we get in trouble. And then we can cry and moan loud and long. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, come and see about me. But how about you walk and talk with him on a daily basis? Walk and talk with him. I said, when you're really in fellowship with the Lord, you want to walk and talk with him to the place where, ever see a couple that been together and they're living in fellowship with each other? He can look over at her and just look in a certain way. Ain't saying a word. That the room could be filled with people. And he can just look. And that look speaks volumes. That look can say, baby, you just the finest thing that ever lived on this earth. That look can say, ooh, I can't wait till this is over. Because we going to the house and oh, no. I got some children watching. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? My point is, if we can do that with people, how about we work to be in fellowship with God to the place where when we can't even voice what we feel, God knows and hears us because the fellowship with us is just that great. We want to trust in God's instruction. Trust in what God tells us to do. We got to remember and know that God's word, God ain't just speaking out just because he ain't got nothing else to do. Remember, his word, be it that it comes through the preacher, it comes through the Bible, his word. 2 Timothy tells us, you know, chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. For what? For teaching, correction, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And then he goes on to say, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's in his word. And you got to trust his word. You know that verse that we often quote in Psalm 119 and verse 105? God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. It will enlighten us. It will open up the eyesight for us of what it is we're doing or trying to do, where God has called us to go. But we just got to trust his word. I got to trust God Almighty. I got to trust God's plan. I got to trust God's provision. And I got to trust his instruction in his word. I got to trust this. Luke chapter 11 and verse 22 tells us, he says, blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. It's time out for excuses, people of God. It's time out for excuses. If we offer excuses, then we're not doing what God has called for us to do. What is God calling for us to do? I'm glad you asked. Now, many people feel that if God didn't call me to be a preacher, a minister, then I have no calling. I have no purpose for anything in life. Let me just share with you just a couple, because there's a whole lot more. But let me just share with you a couple of the things that God is calling each one of us, each one of us. I don't care how old or how young, how wise, how not wise, how anything. Because remember, God knows us. He knows all of our flaws as well as all of our wonderful qualities. God knows. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, God is calling for us to walk in fellowship with Christ Jesus. To walk in fellowship with Christ Jesus. Many times we go lacking in our lives for the things that only Christ can supply, the peace and the joy and the comfort. How about you start walking in fellowship with him? Strive to walk in fellowship with him. That means you got to let go of some of the foolishness that you got going on in your own world, because he ain't going to walk in foolishness. He ain't going to walk in foolishness. Let me just clear this up real quick. He ain't asking you to be perfect, because that's not a thing that's given to us in this life. But he does expect us to strive, be working on it. So you might have to lay aside some of that foolishness that you're using as an excuse not to have fellowship with Christ Jesus. He calls for us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. God calls for us to walk, live in the freedom from sin that he provides, so that we might love, that we might serve, and we might do good to others. That's what he calls for us to do. And many of us are offering excuses. Excuses, which are the reasons we feel that it's a justifiable reason why not to do what God says we have to do. I like this interesting thing that I've discovered. When God calls for you to do something, that's what he expects out of you. And it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Sometimes we want to base our doing what God calls for us to do based on what other people are doing. What are you talking about? I'm saying he calls for us to live free from sin, that we might love, share, and serve with others and do good to others. And we'll say, well, yeah, as long as they're doing good for me, long as they're doing what I want them to do, long as they're doing, satisfying my interest. That's not what he called us for. Because remember, everything that God calls us to do, there's a purpose in it. There's a reason in it. We've got to live out our lives as he would have us to do. And then he calls us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, I'm really reading this bad today. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. He calls us to be holy, to live holy lives. What you mean, live holy lives? He calls for us to be set apart for his service, to be set apart for his pleasure, to be set apart, to be called out from all of the sin and iniquity that we so easily do, and make it our point to be of service to God. Make it our point. So that means I can't offer God any excuses. And many of us have offered excuses from day one. We have 1,000 reasons why we can't do what God has called us to do. Remember, God empowers us to do what he's called us to do. I've often said, God calls for us to live holy, and he has this wonderful thing called the Holy Ghost, his spirit that he will give and share with each one of us. And now listen to this. I say it's like God calls and says, I want you to come and clean my house. And I'm living in a big old 1,000-room mansion. And if you get through cleaning it, I'll pay you, I don't know what's $5 million. And so you show up the next day to clean, and you got your buckets and your mops and your your cleaning supplies. And God steps up and says, or the Holy Ghost steps up and says, oh, you don't need all that. I got it. And then when you go in and start using the equipment that God has supplied for you, the Holy Ghost steps in and helps you do what it is you're out to accomplish. He steps in to help you do what you've agreed to do. God doesn't call for us to live holy and expect us to do it by ourselves, because he know we can't make it by ourselves. Remember, I've said God knows the flaws we have. When God called Moses to go down and speak to Pharaoh, God knew Moses had an issue with speaking. He stuttered. He was slow of speech. Whatever it was, God already knew that. But God said, this is what I want you to do. God knows what we're capable of. He knows what our flaws are. He knows what our issues are. Some of us, and I say issues, that just covers a whole broad scope of things. God knows whatever your issue is. But he's still calling us to do what he wants us to do. And says, I'll equip you if you'll just trust my power. Trust my plan. Trust my provision. And then trust my word. People, if we do this, we can then be living in obedience to God. Many of us are going through the situations that we go through in life because of our disobedience. And you can be disobedient and pretend like you're doing all right. You can do that all day long. It doesn't change the fact that you're disobedient. You can do that all day. It doesn't change the fact that you're disobedient. And for everybody, remember that the day will come when we stand before the Lord in judgment. At that time, I really want to see some people get up there and talk about something. Well, God, what had happened was, and offer to him those pitiful excuses that we many times offer to ourselves for not living the way God has called for us to live. Those excuses won't stand. They won't stand. They won't survive. They won't be good enough. How about that? They won't be good enough. And why would you want to face eternal punishment? Think about it. Why would you want? I don't like punishment under any circumstances. But we're talking about eternal punishment. Why would I want eternal punishment when all I've got to do is be obedient to God and trust his power and trust his provision and trust his plan and trust his word for my life to do what he's called me to do? I'm going to trust that. And I know it's going to carry me through. And then when I got a question, I ain't ashamed to bring it before God. God, help me with this. Because I'm striving to do what you want. I need you to bring clarity. And he will. No more excuses. Let today be the day that you say no more. Let today be the day you say, okay, I'm done with this. And shut the door on those excuses. Shut the door on them. Put them out. Put them out of your life. Shut the excuses down. Because the excuses don't enable you to do what God has called for you to do. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness, for your care for us. Thank you. God, we thank you that you woke us up and started us on our way and placed within us a mind and a desire to live for you today, to be all that we can be in you, because we walk in your strength and your power. We don't rely upon our own strength because we don't have none. We're weak. We're fallible. We mess up. But in you, there is no failure. So thank you. Father, we just ask you to forgive us for any sins that we've committed. Anything that we have done that's outside of your will, forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole, and help us to remember that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And then as he being our Lord and Savior, our Master and soon coming King, it is our job to be the humble, obedient servant. Today, Father, we need you to touch and heal sickness that is in our land. Sickness in a physical way. There are those that are being struck down by this horrible disease of COVID-19. There are those that are sick with cancer. Those that are sick with high blood pressure and diabetes and all sorts of things, God. But no matter what the illness might be, you're greater than all of those things. So speak life according to your will and your wisdom. And Father, our nation is sick. Our world is sick. With people that are willing to do whatever they want to do for themselves and not looking out for the needs of anybody else. God, touch, heal, and deliver. as only you can. We call upon you because you are the one that is able. We can't trust in men. We can't put our trust in horses. We have to trust in you. You are able to do all things and you do them well. So, Father, we call on you. Speak to politicians everywhere. Those that are in charge in whatever the capacity might be, on a national level, on a state level, on a local level, touch their heart and their mind that they will do what is right by your word. Oh God, touch as only you can. Father, we need you to touch those everywhere that are working on the front lines, in emergency rooms, in hospitals, doctors and nurses and technicians and medical people and whatever their situation might be. Even the people that have to go in and clean up the hospital rooms. God, touch. Give them strength and courage and peace. Protecting. God, that they might continue to go on and serve. Bless teachers everywhere that are trying to deal with this pandemic situation. And they're doing it under such stress. Bless them, God. Bless students that are having to deal with this. And many are at home trying to do things virtually and they don't have the proper equipment. Make the way, Father. And then there are those that are going in person. Keep them safe. We have to trust ourselves into your care. Father, keep us safe. Protect us. Help us today. Now, Father, we need you to help us that we might show the love that you show to us with other people. You've reached down and brought us up out of horrible pits. You brought us out of our sin and shameful ways of living. Father, let us share this with others that they too might come to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, your precious Son, who gave his life for us on Calvary's cross. The only one qualified, the only one that was perfect and sinless, but he gave his life and took our sins on, paid that punishment. And then on the third day, you allowed him to rise again in victory and power. And not many days later, ascended back into heaven, that there he's seated at your right hand, the place of action, that he can look out for us and atone for us. Father, bless those that already know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But we ask a special blessing today on those that have not come to know Jesus. Father, open their eyes and their ears that they might hear. Allow your spirit to convict and draw them in, that they might recognize their sinful ways, acknowledge their sinful ways, and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and Savior, forgiver of all things. And Father, as they give their lives to Jesus, be with them. Let them grow in wisdom and knowledge of you. And as they grow in the wisdom and knowledge of you, they will then be able to live as you call for us to live. We ask all of these blessings in your Son, Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Amen. Now you go today and live in victory. No more excuses. No more excuses. When you open your mouth to give another excuse, remind yourself, Pastor said today, no more excuses. I've got to become who God wants me to become. You know, many times as a parent, you look at your children and you push them and you try to provide for them and you let them know sometimes that you're disappointed in the things that they're doing because you have the hopes that they will live to their fullest potential. They will become what you know they can. God wants you to live to your fullest potential. So you got to let go of the excuses and live as he would have you to live. No more excuses. We love you with the love of Jesus. God bless you. Share this with somebody. Share this with them that they too might be helped. Remember to practice the practices that our CDC has told us to do. I'm wearing of our masks, putting on our sanitizing and social distancing. Let's do these things that we all might be benefited. God bless you. We love you with the love of Jesus.